We're talking about dogs. Talking about you and your dog. Struggling dogs. Talking about every kind of dog. Good dogs, bad dogs. Especially the sad dogs. Dog, 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 dog. Reward your dog.
Welcome to the Reward Your Dog podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Verena.
We understand what it's like living with dogs who struggle.
And we are here to give you tools and ideas to help you and your dog live an awesome life.
Awesome. Hey, hello, well met, everyone. This is the Reward Your Dog podcast.
This is take three.
Yeah.
We've already made all the jokes about it.
And you just heard the bumper saying this is the Reward Your Dog podcast, and I'm saying it again. Reward your dog. Bam. But it's more than that. It is the vehicle by which we present the incredible Jess Lara.
Yes. Hey, Jess.
Hello.
Let me tell you a little bit about Jess.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know.
Jess's pronouns are she, her. And Jess is somebody who I've worked with for several years, actually, and it's very exciting, and I've learned a lot from Jess. Jess holds a CBCCKA. That sounds complicated.
Wow, good job.
I know, right? It means Certified Dog Behavior Consultant Canine, which is like the most awkward way to say that she's a behavior consultant. For dogs. I think you've been a dog trainer for over 10 years now, right?
I think it's more, I'm going on 10 years officially, but I've been training dogs that I can get my hands on for a lot longer than that.
That makes sense, yeah. Well, Jess is also the president of the newly formed Cascade Rettungshunde, or Rescue Dogs Club. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So RH, I won't embarrass myself by trying to say the German pronunciation, is the sport of search and rescue. So it's not real deployable search and rescue. It's a game. It's a competitive game of searching, obedience, and dexterity, and there's trials that you can go to and get titles on your dog. So we're forming a group here in the PNW to get together and train our dogs.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in it.
Yes.
Which I'm really excited about. What kind of people should think about doing this sport?
Ooh, I like that question. A very broad range of people and dogs can do this.
Awesome.
So I do think it's very accessible. Big dogs, small dogs, different breeds, and then all sorts of people can do it. So if you like spending time with your dog, if you like being outdoors, if you're goal oriented, then this might be something that's interesting to you. Yeah, I think if you have a high energy dog who is motivated, that's going to be a big key here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I think you're not a stranger to search and rescue proper, right? Because you grew up doing search and rescue, at least the trainings and demonstrations. And I believe it was with your grandpa.
Whole
family collection here.
Yep. I'm fortunately the oldest grandchild. So my grandpa founded a search and rescue team in Oregon in the 80s.
So cool.
And yeah, it was awesome. And so being the oldest grandchild, I got to go along with him to trainings and demonstrations and go get lost in the woods. This was the 90s, so kids were allowed to do that.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember those days. Jesse's like, you were kids in the 90s.
And then, so I'd go get lost and I would wait. I'd sit against a tree and I'd wait till I hear the little jingle bells of a dog coming, and a dog would rush in and find me, rush out, and then a couple minutes later, the team would come and reward the dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really gave me this impression that dogs are heroes, that they're really well trained and obedient, and that being outside in the woods with them is like the best thing ever.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, I mean, the tagline on your website is supporting working breeds and pet homes, right?
Yep.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Working breeds. You want to unpack that for us?
Sure. So working breeds is a big umbrella term for dogs who are bred for a specific purpose, of specific working purpose. So that's going to be like hunting dogs, herding dogs, guard dogs, terriers.
Terriers are their own category. Yeah. Terrier.
Yeah. Terrier.
They're rat dogs.
Terrier around.
And as opposed to companion breeds.
Got it.
So there's kind of a distinction between the two, like a more purpose-driven dog that wants to accomplish things versus a dog bred to be your buddy.
a lot of dogs want to accomplish being your buddy.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And dogs can be both. The working breeds very much are our buddies as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's social work to be considered.
That's true.
Social work.
Yeah. Yeah. So enough about dogs. How has everybody's week been?
You know what? Actually, it's been long and arduous.
Yeah.
I've been really tired. I rode in a horse clinic Monday and Wednesday.
See, I knew we'd run the course on dogs. Tell us about this horse thing.
Well, I my horse is currently non-ridden, but I still take clinics. So a friend of mine very kindly loaned me her horse. Thank you, Stacy. And I rode the horse in a clinic with a wonderful dressage trainer. But it meant that I had to kind of fit that into my days around my schedule. So it's just, I don't slow down. I just add things on top.
That's relatable.
I've noticed this.
Yeah. So it's been good. The weather's been good here. I haven't spent as much time with my dogs and my horse and all those things, but all right. Overall, how about you guys?
I've had a good week.
Lots of tracking, I saw.
Yep. Lots of waking up early to track, which is fun. It's like a habit like anything else. I don't like waking up early, but now I'm sort of in this habit and I'm excited to wake up early and go tracking.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been doing that. Earlier today, I laid a track in my yard when it was cold in the morning and I baited the track with cheese and I let it age for a little bit and the sun came out and melted the cheese.
Yum.
Right. So I brought Elva out and then I realized the cheese was sort of melted like into the ground.
Uh-huh.
And
it's kind of a deal. Ron's doing the work for you.
Yeah. And then there's ants on it.
Oh, God.
And yeah, it got pretty messy. So she needed some help figuring out how to eat the cheese because it wasn't just like a bite and go like she's used to. She actually laid down and licked melted cheese for like a minute on the track.
Well, that's a way to get your dog to slow down tracking.
Very slow. Yep. Very, very slow.
Nice. I built a cool glass door today.
Ooh.
That's cool.
Well, this week, I should have said. I built it Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I looked at it again today. It looks really good.
You called the bank like a hero?
Called the bank. Yeah. The less said about the bank,
the better.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. You guys got anything going on? Courses, classes, offers? This is the commercial part of the thing.
You know, I am actually gearing up to do another round of my Urban Dogger Activity online course. So feel free to get in touch. I don't have the website up yet, so dang.
Yeah, you got to reach out. It's a cool course, though, folks. I get to listen in when she runs it, and it's actually super interesting and
thanks.
I think really compelling, and that the people enjoy it.
The idea is to help kind of a dog guardian become a trainer for their own dog. Because it's like, yes, you can pay a trainer for 8 months to a year to maybe 2 years, depending on your dog's reactivity, or you can just learn how to do it. And then you might still hire a trainer or find somebody with a neutral dog. But, you know, it's at least a way to get you started.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's much needed.
How about you? Running any classes? The weather's getting better. Well, waiting
weather
for...
Weather is getting better, yes.
For certain classes to run, so...
For hashtag relationship goals.
Yep.
That's going to start soon. So that's a drop-in class that I do in person. And it's super fun because each class is different and there's different students in each class. So that kind of variety is really fun and interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little less excited about the 6 week classes.
Fair.
That are the same students every time. Even though I love all my students, I really, really like the variety of like, who's going to show up today? Mm-hmm. What dogs do we have? What people do we have? So, and it's at a public park. So there's always new distractions as well.
Yeah. If people wanted to be a part of that, how would they hook that up?
Well, the best way to find me is on my Instagram, J9K9 Training.
That's letter J, numeral 9.
Yep.
Et cetera.
Yep, yeah. Okay. That's right. Uh-huh.
Why J9K9, by the way? I mean, K9 is obvious.
Mm-hmm. K9's obvious. J, so my name is Jess.
Jess, yeah.
Yep. And then the number 9, I don't have a super great reason.
It's a fun, I mean,
did
it's a good number.
Did you have clones previously?
This is the ninth edition of me.
Uh-huh.
I mean... it's circular, and I like that. I used to own own and run a hula hoop business called Circular Energy Hoops.
Oh, that's super cool.
In which I made and sold hula hoops in Chicago.
I feel like we need to just completely derail this podcast and get into the hula hoop thing.
My past life with the hula hoop.
Yeah, this is like going to be an investigative journalism thing about your hula hoop business. But I will forbear as much as I want
to
do that.
Follow Jess on Instagram for many reasons.
Yeah, not least the hula hoop thing.
That's little, but on occasion there is hula hoop content.
Yeah, every few years I will post a video of me hula hooping and just be like, hey, I actually do other stuff than dogs sometimes.
I sometimes try to do that too.
Yeah.
I am going out.
Hashtag non-dog things.
Yeah.
Speaking of dog things... What are we going to talk about this week?
Well, we're going to talk about... So the reason I invited Jess is because Jess has a house of challenging and wonderful and characterful dogs.
Uh-huh. Spicy.
Spicy dogs. And has been very, very thoughtful in her approach to helping at least two of the dogs be friends and everybody coexist without too much struggle. And I feel like that could take us to the animal check-in.
Animal check-in. You know, everybody's heard about our dogs. What's up with your animals, Jess?
What's up with my animals? Well, I have 12-year-old Dandelion, and she is just aging gracefully.
Yeah.
She's as excited as she's ever been. She's just older and hasn't realized yet.
You know Dandy. We went on a walk together,
Yeah. So Dandy is awesome and she's excited about everything. She's excited about going outside and coming inside and getting food. And when I go outside or I come inside or we're going to go for a walk, she's just endlessly enthusiastic about everything. So that's wonderful.
She is
and
awesome.
I look at her and I'm like, you know, you're old. And she's like, no, I'm not.
We can all aspire.
Yes. Yep. Totally. And then I have 3-year-old Elva, my Malinois, and she's my main training partner. So I'm always, always learning with her and problem solving. And she is making me a better trainer. She demands that I'm near perfect to work with her.
Barely. Yeah. I mean, she loves working with you, but she, you know, I think in her daily life can pose some challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's not totally bought into me having all good ideas for her. Yeah.
Doesn't take no mess.
Right. And then my husband has a 1-year-old border collie mix who is bred to herd cows. So she has a little Aussie and a little blue heeler in her to make her a little bit harder.
Spicy mix.
Yeah, spicy. She's a hard dog. And she's awesome and she's super in love with Aaron and just head over heels wants to do everything he wants to do.
Aww.
She goes to work with him and then on lunch break they skateboard together or play frisbee. So she's a happy girl.
That's so cute.
It's so cute. They're so in love.
Aww.
And I think your roommate also has a dog, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. So we have four.
Four female dogs.
Four female. And yeah, cherry on top is that my roommate has a about 1-year-old female Malinois husky mix. Which sounds worse than it is. My
That's
roommate.
Perfectly delightful.
My roommate, shout out Jackson, is also a dog trainer. So he is, he's on it and he's making tons of progress with her. And she is a nice little dog.
She's little.
She's little.
She's
yeah,
a little
she's the smallest dog in the house.
Yeah, she's little.
But she doesn't know that.
Awesome. All this talk about your dogs, Jess, makes me think maybe we get into the meat of the whole thing, which is the integration of dogs, if I've got that right. Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's get on the topic of the week.
Yeah, which is about integrating dogs, right? So you just got done telling us about your dogs. And this is Jess I'm looking at and saying this. Everybody.
Jess is looking at Jess.
Yeah. When I was in college, there were 12 people in my hall. Four of us were named Jessie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've had a similar situation with Jessica and Jess.
Yeah. Anyway, the rest of you guys are just going to have to be confused. When I say Jess, I know who I'm talking to right now in this
room.
Yep. And Jess, our guest, just got done telling us about her dogs. And now she is going to tell us how they all get along and how she as a dog trainer manages that, because it is a little challenging, right?
Yeah, there are challenges. So they get along because we facilitate their relationship very heavily through management and training. So my three dogs are not compatible to just be BFFs snuggling on the couch together.
Mm-hmm. How come?
Well, because they're all pointy-eared females, and they have big opinions.
Just one of them is an elf.
An elf. Yeah, I have a little elf.
Just kidding.
They have big opinions, and they're willing to demonstrate how they feel about things.
They're ready to throw down.
Okay,
so that seems to imply that you're saying that dogs, in some cases, just can't be integrated, or...
Ooh.
Is that what you're saying, or you've clearly made the choice to...
Sure.
To what? Keep them separate? Is that it?
So they are with each other under certain conditions.
Okay.
So in the house, we use a lot of barriers.
Yeah.
So baby gates. And my dogs will respect, like, the baby gates I have are, like, 20 inches tall. Mm-hmm. So it's not like my house is totally on lockdown.
Barrier.
It's a suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were boarding our friend's Husky Dio, who we've mentioned, and he was able to climb the XXL crate.
Mm-hmm.
Like a cat, and then jumped over it. So, you know, not every dog will get along with a 20-inch tall barrier, but some will. My dogs, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think my dogs could also get over a really tall fence, but, you know, there's training there. So in the house, there's barriers to keep the peace, and then we do a lot of really fun activities together. So mm-hmm. we go on walks, we go camping, we play in the yard. So they are together.
But it's in a circumstance that you orchestrate.
It's curated. Yes, orchestrate. Right. And, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But just day-to-day, well, excuse me, moment-to-moment, hour-to-hour, ordinary, in the house, unsupervised time, they're not together.
Nope.
Is that right?
Nope. Not this group of dogs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's because that's just not something you want to work towards, or because...
Yeah, so it's because it is something I want to work towards.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah, I love
if
that.
If I let them together right now, very likely a fight would happen. Mm-hmm. So very likely a resource guarding mm-hmm. situation mm-hmm. would happen. And then integrating them after a fight is very difficult. So my main goal right now is that fights don't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is super relatable. So my dog, Ozzy, I board a lot, but my house is not as well set up for it. So basically, I need visual barriers the first day so they can't see each other at all. And I have to rotate them around so they can smell each other. I don't always do that, but that is ideal. Mm-hmm. And then double barriers for a few days and they can only meet on trail.
Yep.
And if it's an intact adolescent dog, I will never take the barriers down. Unless they stay for a really long time. And then maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's a little bit like that, huh?
Yeah, it is a little bit like that. Dandy's fragile right now. So her health is fragile and she has seizures. So a big part of this is protecting Dandy. So mm-hmm. Dandy has to be comfortable at all costs. That's the number one.
Yeah.
The number one goal. Yeah. She doesn't want a young Malinois or a young Border Collie up in her space.
Right. So age is a big factor, actually.
Yep. Age mm-hmm. is a big factor and health. And so that's not going to get better for Dandy. So that's just that's just how it is. It's keeping Dandy comfy.
So if somebody is like, I want to get a young puppy for my older dog, maybe not the best idea.
Maybe not. Yeah, unless your older dog loves younger puppies, mm-hmm. which sometimes that happens, but not so often. I would want to have plans in place for keeping your older dog comfy and giving them their own space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let me play my role as the viewer identification character here.
You do it so well, Jesse.
Shouldn't I just take my two dogs and, like, throw them into a room and let them fight it out so one of them can emerge alpha, and then it'll all be sorted out?
Oh, my goodness, Jesse, you're going hard tonight.
Yeah, okay. So...
Have mercy.
That is actually really common advice. Like, let them work it out.
Right.
Let them figure that out. I could see someone saying that to me about Elva and Tilly.
Fair.
Just saying they need mm-hmm. to figure out who's alpha.
So why are they wrong when they say that?
Yeah, that's a valid question. So... Why they're wrong is because for most dogs, after they get into a fight, the relationship is fractured and a fight is much more likely to occur than before the fight.
Because they have like a history of fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can really lose trust in each other. So, and I've seen this where after a fight, dogs get flinchy around each other.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. They're on guard.
Right. You don't want to have to repair it. You want to be proactive.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you'd say the same thing about like getting spooked on a leash walk or something like that, right? You want to avoid that negative.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Association from the get-go rather than trying to fix it after it happens.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
So it sounds like we have a lot of structure around the interactions in place. So you already mentioned that they get to do fun things together, but what's the day-to-day life in your house like?
Sure. So day-to-day life is Dandy is the queen. She gets free roam. And we all have to work around her. Elva often goes to work with me. So mm-hmm. the days that I leave the house and do privates or go out to work, because I often work from home as well, Elva is with me. So Elva gets to assist in my privates. She gets walks and training sessions. And then Tilly goes to work with Aaron. So there's a good chunk of the day that the younger girls are not home. And then when we come home in the evening, my partner and I have a conversation about how we want to manage the dogs. So what's our energy level? How are the dogs feeling? Are they pent up? Are they well exercised? These are all things we think about. Mm-hmm. And then we might decide, okay, let's put up gates and cook dinner. Or we might say, we don't feel like doing that. Let's put one of them in a crate downstairs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're always game planning how we're going to structure them and how we're going to manage them when they're in the house.
I have had rumors of a text thread around where the dogs are and what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we have a house text thread, and we do inform each other. Actually, I don't. Thank you, boys. But the guys inform me when their dogs are outside. Mm-hmm. So I always know when a dog is outside, so I can make choices about who I let outside. Mm-hmm. And then when I come home from work, or more often it's Aaron coming home from work, he'll call me and he'll say, is the yard clear or the living room clear? Because he wants to know if he can just walk in the house with Tilly or if he should put her in the backyard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, we're not just telling all this stuff so that you guys are familiar with Jess's dogs and the shape of her life, but so that perhaps someone listening might gain some insight or information about their own situation, right? And as I listen to you talk about this, the first thing that strikes me is that it seems like a giant pain in the ass, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if I'm thinking about getting another dog, what do I need to pay attention to as I make that choice? And or if I'm already in this situation, I have a couple of dogs that are, you know, maybe rubbing up against each other in weird ways. What do I do about it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'd say when you're considering getting another dog, try to set yourself up for success. One way you can do that is to have a male-female pairing. Mm-hmm. So having multiple females is challenging. And it's additionally challenging when you have intact and spayed females. And
do you mean a mixture of the two?
Yes, a mixture can be harder. Huh. So having a male-female is nice, a better choice, a smarter choice than what we did. Having dogs who are not so easily offended, such as like a Labrador, a Newfoundland, a Cavachon.
So you mean breeds more chill, right?
Yeah, more chill, totally. Uh-huh. So we've selected like particularly not chill breeds.
Because those are the dogs that can do the thing you want to do with
yes,
them?
Yes, yeah.
That's your working breed we're back to?
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, and I mean, to some extent, breed is like you're rolling the dice, right? Whatever you do. I mean, personality and genetics and all those things play a role, but the chances are much higher, I think, of getting certain traits when you choose a certain breed. Totally. I mean, I know some labs that guard, like, jerks.
Sure. Yeah,
but it could happen. It's less likely.
It's less likely. I did actually push for Aaron to get a lab instead of a border
collie. Bless your heart.
I did, and he had his heart set on not a lab. Mm-hmm. But I was like, think of how easy our life would be if you just got a big male lab, because Elva would instantly love him.
Do you bring this up often now?
No, I think we both fell in love with Tilly. She's the right dog. She
might
awesome.
Have more ammunition than you do on that front anyway.
Right, right. It's not like I selected like a doughy, easy to live with animal.
So, well, tell us a little bit about, I mean, you've been very thoughtful from the beginning on how to integrate them. Tell us what the plan looked like.
Sure. So when we got Tilly, she was a rescue and she seemed to be under socialized. So she wasn't so confident with other dogs. So that told us right away that Elva would be way too intense for her. Elva is really socially forward and confident.
And then she rolls around on the floor like a dingus.
Yes. And then she does dingus stuff. Yeah. She's a little all over the place, but it's all with great confidence. So that's something to think about. If you have a really confident dog or if you have a shy dog, you don't want to overface the shyer dog of the two.
Right.
With a big outgoing, hi, I'm Elva, in your face type of thing. Yeah. So we...
Extrovert, introvert stuff.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we took some time to build up Tilly's confidence before we had them meet. So we had Tilly interact with nice dogs, lots of nice and safe dogs that... that are my clients' dogs, because my clients make great choices and get lovely dogs, and not a bunch of Malinois and Border Collies, which are also lovely dogs. So we took about 7 weeks of having them acclimate to each other before they actually met. So that looked like going camping together, having them on their own tethers, training them near each other, crating them near each other, going on walks together, a lot of parallel time together without actually interacting.
And parallel fun time often, right? So it's like we're doing good stuff, but we're not doing it together.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's super helpful that we had two handlers. This would be harder if I was trying to integrate two challenging dogs alone.
Yeah.
Much, much easier with two people. So we started our walks together and we probably had the dogs 40 feet apart.
As with a lot of dog stuff, that seems like an incredible amount of work, but it also seems like less work than putting up with the consequences of not doing it right from the start.
Yeah, for like a decade at least.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It does seem like it is a lot of work. It's just the work that I'm into.
Right, but also, I mean, even if that was not your passion, you'd probably rather do that for a couple of months and get the relationship where it needs to be than to deal with a fraught relationship for the rest of the dog's lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep, much better to go slow at the beginning. And to that point, my partner could not believe how slow I was going.
Yeah.
He tried to convince me, let's just let him in the yard. We were hiking together, and he goes, let's just let him off leash. Like, they'll be fine. Let's let him do this. And I was like, nope. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's not a trainer, so he couldn't see the big picture. But he did trust me. And he has since said many times, like, this is awesome. Like, they are best friends now.
Oh, wow.
They love each other.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's adorable. They greet each other. They're so happy to see each other.
What was the first meeting like?
So the first meeting, we went camping for 10 days. We did not let them meet, although they were at the end of their tethers flirting with each other. So we knew things were going well. And then at the...
So were they like a foot apart, reaching out for each other, like at the Sistine Chapel, or was it like...
So at this camping trip, they were a foot apart, and that was because of the conditions. So there were foxtails all over. We had to lay down a tarp and then tether them on the tarp.
Got it.
So we had very limited space.
Forced to make it that, that narrow.
Yeah, but this was like 6.5 weeks in, so we were ready for that. Yeah, they were totally like laying on their sides and reaching for each other and play bowing. And we were like, well, there's foxtails and rattlesnakes, so we can't let you meet right now.
Fair.
Yeah. So we, on the way home, we were out in the middle of nowhere and we found a fenced in dog park with grass in the desert. And we let them, and no one was there. This is like small town. We took them into the dog park because that is a really rich and interesting environment.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So there's other stuff to do. There's sniffs to be sniffed. And we let them off leash in there. And I anticipated like immediate play or something, chasing, you know, I was pretty nervous. And they were like, hey, and they just sniffed the dog park, and it was awesome.
That's so great.
It was so awesome. I was like, oh my gosh, they are like used to each other.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a big deal for them.
It worked.
It worked. Words. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's
it
so
worked.
Cool. You mentioned earlier that they have kind of big feelings about toys, which can happen, right? I mean, the sticky spots can be things like doorways, because that's a resource to get to the outside. Mm-hmm. It can be owners sometimes, too. It can be, you know, chewables, edible things, and then also toys, right?
Yep.
So what are the sticky spots for them? Are those, like, things you navigate carefully?
Yep. Yeah, everything you named, and add in the addition of Dandy has weird resource guarding, so...
Like weird how?
Weird, like, things that she doesn't want to possess that are across the room from her.
Oh.
She will decide no dog can go by those shoes right now.
Mm.
And then go at them if they go by those shoes. So that adds another element of complexity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ozzy does that sometimes when somebody wants to play with the cat.
Oh.
And they like each other, but they're, you know, like very distant friends. But the cat will become valuable if another dog wants the cat.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we know, hey, that dog is a problem for him. Maybe we hadn't seen certain signs, but now we're like, okay, back to separation. You go to the bedroom, you go over here.
That's sort of his tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of them.
I think Dandy's probably similar in that way. So, but the other girls, it's pretty straightforward. Like you said, toys. Food hasn't been a big thing. Neither one of them are really big food dogs. But the nature of my house is there's not food or bully sticks laying around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be mostly toys. And then Tilly has a fun trait of liking to just stare down dogs' movements and then cut in and tell them they should stop moving.
Like she's a cowbred dog or something.
Yeah, yeah, she's looking for her cows. And we have to express to her that her cow is not the Malinois.
Yeah, fair.
The Malinois should not be told where she can and cannot walk, Tilly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a lot. I mean, it also sounds like a super thoughtful approach. Has it been challenging for you and Aaron to follow through on this? I mean, it sounds like that's kind of right up your alley and you're like, yeah, I'm game for this. This is great. How has it been?
Well, yeah, it's one thing to make a plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's another thing to like live it out.
Yeah. So sticking with the plan, it's been easier for me than Aaron because I trust in the process.
Sure.
So I do this for a living. So I understand if you stick with it, it's going to pay out.
You've seen a desensitization procedure in action.
Yeah. Yeah. seen one or two. So, and Aaron doesn't have that history. But he does trust me. He trusts that I'm doing things for a reason. It will pay out. But he's not quite as patient with all of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's also like, can we just have an integrated house?
Right.
Right?
Right. And there are days where I think, why don't I have a Labrador? Like, why did I choose this life for myself? And yeah, so there's definitely days where I think it's challenging. But overall, I think that it's worth it. And seeing their growth and seeing how healthy of a relationship they have now has been really, really reinforcing to me.
Yeah, that's a nice reward
for the
labors. It sounds like the future looks pretty bright for Elva and Tilly. Sounds pretty positive.
Yeah, I think so. They love each other. We are going to stick with the management level that we have right now as Tilly matures.
Mm-hmm.
So
how old is she now?
She's 1.5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty young.
So what I've seen, a common mistake to make is to assume that your dog's sociability is fixed.
Yeah.
That the sociability you see at 12 months or 18 months or even 2 years is how your adult dog is going to be.
Right.
And often sociability changes and usually they become less social.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like
like me.
Netflix and chill, right?
So we are going to maintain what we're doing, give them lots of opportunity to have fun together and to enjoy each other's presence, and then just see who Tilly grows up to be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's the picture of your dogs. Why don't we talk a little bit about integrating dogs more generally?
Sure.
Now that we've kind of got that baseline in place, do you have any advice for folks who want to do what you've done, which is integrate these dogs who are kind of difficult with each other, potentially?
Sure. So my advice would be go slow and trust in the process. If you can work with a trainer, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So trust in the process means having a process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Having, like, to get that process, they've got to either find someone to help them or are there resources out there? Is that too naive a question?
I don't know of any resources of integrating dogs.
There's not a whole lot. When in our shout out, we'll have something, but not like that. Well, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is one first step would be to select dogs that are compatible with each other, right?
Yes. But if that hasn't happened, which I have clients, I'm sure you have clients.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they adopt second dog and we go, oh, not who I would have picked, but if you love each other, you love each other. Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. I think making sure the dogs have their own spaces is important. Mm-hmm. So that's going to include making your dog comfortable with that. So doing some barrier training.
Big one, right?
Yeah.
So by barrier training, you mean like that they can be behind a baby gate, that they can be behind a door or an exercise pen without
not so stressful.
Experiencing stress.
Yep. Yeah. I do like to think of, and this is for dogs who get along super well or dogs who have conflict, I do like folks to think about their dogs as individuals and to treat them as individuals. They do not need the same exact treatment. They actually need different treatment.
Right.
And I do think it's kind of common that you'll see people treat their two dogs or their three dogs as like a two-headed
dogs.
Yep. Right. It's like you have a three-headed dog in your house and you just kind of apply the same treatment to this, to the unit of dog. And they very much are individuals.
Like Cerberus.
I was trying so hard not to bring it in.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a three-headed dog, oh, what is the thing you're supposed to give to Sarah? It doesn't matter.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway.
First of all, you're probably Charon, right?
Yep.
Which is got to come with a whole bunch of challenges on it.
Yeah, that's a whole rabbit hole that we're not going to fall down into. Uh-huh. But yeah, so you're basically saying that you want to make sure that you're spending one-on-one time individual dog.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, foster the relationship you have with each dog.
Don't always walk your dogs together either, please.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's very common for people to go, I'm going to take the dogs for a walk. Mm-hmm. Very occasionally, I will take both my dogs on a walk, but they have different walking styles and they dig different things. One wants to sniff, the other wants to actually kind of walk with me. Mm-hmm. And that is not doing either of them as much justice as I could if I walked them separately.
Yeah.
Do you remember what we got Ozzy for his birthday?
We took him to the golf course onto the urban trail by himself.
Oh.
Solo time.
Oh.
He was the happiest dog.
That's a perfect gift for him.
It was the perfect gift
for him. No other dogs around.
No other dog.
Yep. Yeah.
That's lovely.
He wanted nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And it made him very happy.
Yeah. And I think a lot of dogs feel that way. I think a lot of dogs would just adore going out with their person and getting all the attention and having their needs considered as an individual and not so much as a group.
Yeah.
What do you recommend in terms of skill building? Because a lot of training always hinges on the dogs having certain abilities or making choices based off of their training and learning history, right?
Yep. Yeah. So that's going to depend on the dog. So more social, easygoing dogs can get away with less skills, and more opinionated, less social dogs are going to need more skills to navigate multi-dog households. So the skills that I think are really important are doorway routines. So if you have multiple dogs, as soon as you get your second dog, you cannot have the dogs trying to bust out the door together. That is a point of tension. And even if it's not a fight 50 times, it might be a fight the 51st time because there's just a lot of pressure in the doorway.
That can be slipping or pushing into each other. What if someone's hurt and gets stepped on or something? Yeah, lots of potential.
Yep. And then when aging happens, you know, you don't want them in the habit of just shoving each other. Yeah, so doorway manners. Recall. We use recall quite a bit with Tilly and Elva to moderate them. That's a really big one. So if your dogs, if you start seeing them make less than stellar choices, I want to be able to promptly interrupt. So mm-hmm. a solid recall, even when the dogs are interacting with each other. I also like to make sure the dogs can recall individually. So
yeah, good one.
Yeah, so it's not always like, dogs, come here, but you can call one individual dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So really, like, again, training them as individuals.
Yeah.
This is your recall. This is your release. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
What else? I like being able to go to bed.
Sure.
And sending them to bed from different locations. So I don't have to go, you know, walk all the way to the bed and point at it. But I can be in the room and say bed, and then the dogs know to go to their beds.
To their respective.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, a big one is creating habits. So habits about what you do in different spaces. So we have, for
instance...
This
is a Jess Lara special, everybody, because this is why I've wanted her on. Because Jess is very thoughtful about, like, containers.
Yeah.
Training containers and, like, just expectations.
Yeah. So... Our dog Dandelion is gated in a hallway, and on the side of the hallway she's not on is a door that leads to the room where Tilly and Elva are gated.
Mm.
So Dandy doesn't like dogs by her gate, and that's a big barking event for her. So we have taught Tilly and Elva that when they enter that hallway, the only thing they do is run as fast as they can to their crates. And we did that by planting food. So now there's not food planted, but it is what they do. It is a habit. And very recently, I left Dandy's door open. And I didn't know Aaron was coming down to let Tilly in. And Aaron said he saw Tilly and Dandy in the hallway together. And his heart dropped into his stomach. And Tilly just did what she always does, which is turn and go into her kennel.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. So, and Dandy did what she always does, which is stay on her side of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
So having good habits. This is what we do when we get in the car, when you go to, for dinner time, like all those exciting moments. You want your dog to be pretty clear on, like, this is what I do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Nice.
I guess my last question for you, and maybe Jesse has some more, would be, do you feel like that there are dogs that just can never be integrated? And what should people do when that happens, or if that happens?
Yeah, so I do. I do think there are dogs who can't be integrated for various reasons. It could be health. It could be the history between the two dogs. It could be each individual dog's history, genetics.
Mm-hmm,
Yeah, I do think that unfortunately does happen. And when that kind of situation happens, a decision needs to be made.
Yeah.
So the decision, the choices are generally that you keep both dogs and you separate them all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually more common than I think people realize.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of clients with split homes.
Yeah. And it can be easy. It can get easy and routine to do that.
If you have the space for it.
If you have the space and the capacity and who lives in your house. Mm-hmm. It's going to be easier for some households than others. So that is one option. And that can be really harmonious for each dog's whole life.
Mm-hmm.
That can be fine. And while doing that, there is a chance that you can integrate those dogs like years later, because they're so acclimated and comfortable with each other's existence that you might be able to revisit acclimating them if it didn't work out initially.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Yeah. And then the other option is to rehome one of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be sad, but I'm totally in support of rehoming if it improves the quality of life for the dog and the people and it reduces stress. I don't think that you have to keep your dog forever. I think it is totally okay to find a better situation.
I think there are lots and lots of people who will get a second dog and realize it's not working and just don't have a situation where they can make it work.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're only one person, your place is small, you know, the dogs just can't even look at each other. That's not going to be sustainable. And if you can't get past that, you're not doing anybody any favors by just, like, trying to tough it out for the next 10 years.
Yep.
You know?
I totally agree with that. And I think that the humans really matter here. I think that if you're stressed or you're afraid of your dog's fighting, or it's too much work, I think that it's really important that that kind of stuff is not happening in your home. I think the home, your home should be your place to feel peaceful and low stress as much as possible.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate that, because it's not just about your dog's quality of life. It's about your quality of life, too. And I think that's really important to say.
Yeah. That seems like a good note to end the segment on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go to a quick tip.
Let's do this quick tip. So, quick tip. Quick.
All right.
Give us a tip.
Quick tip is to teach your dogs a cue. That means you're going to scatter food on the ground and they're allowed to come eat it.
Okay.
Love it.
Yep. So the way that you do this, it's very easy. You get a handful of food. I would recommend doing this with one dog present at a time. Don't try this with two dogs at first. And you shout out, picnic, and then you sprinkle the food on the ground.
One of my clients says scramble. Which I love.
Cute.
Someone else does cleanup.
Cleanup. I like that.
So the word doesn't matter that
word
much.
Word doesn't matter.
You have to just pick one, be consistent.
Yep. And then do this at home, do this on walks, do it at the vet. Teach your dog that when you say picnic or scramble, you are predictably going to scatter food on the ground.
Okay. Why?
So, there's so many applications. That's why I love it so much. So the big one is to redirect your dog's attention. So if you see something coming, or your dog has already seen something coming that you don't want your dog to fixate on, picnic. Okay, now you're doing this other activity over here.
And it's presumably like a pretty exciting, high value thing that you're offering so that you can pull them out of some difficult situations.
Yep. And it you can vary how exciting it is. So you can make it. One of the functions is to lower arousal, because you're getting your dog to put their head down and start sniffing and searching and using their brain. So that can lower arousal. For when I want it for that, I sprinkle the food in a less exciting way. And then when I want it to be really fun and exciting, like I want to reward a recall, I actually say piñata, and then I throw the food up.
That's amazing.
I would imagine that the desirability of the food matters too, right?
Yep. Yep, it needs to be.
So a little bit of, you know, a small smattering of kibble is one thing. You know, 50 chunks of steak would be a whole different.
A whole different thing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, your dog's going to.
That's a double
ignore
pinata.
Anything for
that's
the steak.
That's a quinceañera
probably.
Right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thanks. That was
a
great
but
tip.
It's a great quick tip. Doing that kind of thing in grass or other places where they have to, like, work for it a bit, that's a really good one out on walks and such. But we do it in the house all the time.
I do it a lot on hikes, too, to lower arousal. I'm like, you guys are getting too riled up, and let's get in there before we have a conflict.
Yeah, great way to manage multiple dogs.
It's also a good way to end, like, a training session. If you're, you know, if they're super focused on you, that takes their focus away from you and lets them kind of get back to what they were doing.
Then you go do the laundry and all is well.
It can help be, like, a downshift for your dog.
Awesome. Yeah. So let's do the shout-out.
Today's shout out is a resource that can help kind of determine whether play between dogs is healthy. And it's the Shelter Playgroup Alliance, specifically their YouTube channel, which I will link. They have a bunch of videos where they show you dogs interacting with each other. And then they tell you kind of at what levels of excitement or arousal the dogs are. They're like, okay, this is a green zone behavior. This is healthy play. Here's what you see the dogs doing in their bodies when that's the case. This is yellow. We have to be careful. This could be dangerous. And this is red zone behavior that could be kind of the beginning of a fight.
So that's great, because that helps with that. Oh, look, they're having fun playing at the dog park situation.
Or I'm bringing my new dog home and they're romping in the yard. Is this truly like a good way for them to meet? So it's a really good resource for that.
That sounds super helpful.
Yeah, it's very good.
Awesome. And that's called what?
The Shelter Playgroup Alliance. I'll link their YouTube channel. Their website is shelterdogplay.org.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Awesome. So how's it feel?
Feels good.
Put a pin in this one?
All right.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Reward Your Dog podcast. If you like the show, we would love it if you could reward us by reviewing, liking, and subscribing.
In this episode, we were joined by Jess Lara of J9 Canine Training. For more information on Jess, let us know, where's your website and where can people find you?
Website is j9caninetraining.com.
Right. That's the letter J, number 9. Letter K, number 9, training.com.
Right. Yep. And I don't keep up on my website so much, but I am pretty active on Instagram, J9K9_training.
Cool. Fantastic. Yeah, check that out. We welcome feedback, suggestions, and questions. Please send these to Verena@rewardyourdogtraining.com or to the website www.rewardyourdogtraining.com /podcast.
Yeah. We've got a whole little place where you can put your questions. And I know Jesse's been begging for a mailbag segment, so please just ask this guy some questions.
I'm going to start writing myself questions.
You can do that. Yeah. You can also find Reward Your Dog Training on Facebook and TikTok as @RewardYourDogTraining and on Instagram as Reward Your Dog. And for some reason, they're not the same. And I can only blame myself.
I don't know who else you'd blame. For more information from Reward Your Dog Training, even more information, guys. You're going to want to check out the website at the aforementioned www.rewardyourdogtraining.com and give your dog a cookie from us. You know, wait, I didn't say that very well. I'm going to say it again. Ready?
Do it.
Give your dog a cookie from us.
That was awesome.
Thanks.
Well, give yourself a cookie too, and I think we're going to get some burgers now, so.
Ooh,
yes.
Yes.
I'm going to get a burger, and I'm going to get a beer, because it's been that kind of a day.
Good for you.
Week.
I'm into that. Yeah. Reward your podcast hosts.
Yes.
That's the plan. Mm-hmm. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
We're talking about dogs. Talking about you and your dog. Struggling dogs. Talking about everything.